Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
On defense, I thought our defense, you know, they played a lot of shell coverage, which was good. Jabril Peppers showed up last night. Myles Garrett showed up last night. Tank, Desmond, I mean, our first group, you know, watching Joe Hayden compete, looked like the old Joe to me. On offense, we were really spotty. We could run the ball. I know that. We need to throw the ball better. You know, we need to throw the ball better and throw the ball with more urgency, throw the ball in better spots. And but we got to get open, too. So it's a combination of both. Again, we're not supposed to be perfect yet.
I'm not going to talk about health of a position today because I'm going to tell you it could change tomorrow. But what we like with the guys that we have and we're pleased to have them, well, they have to kind of find out what works best for them in this league because you're going to have to use size sometime. Number one thing that you got to have is speed. What we've seen on the field is kind of what we expected. But like I said, let's wait and see.
I don't want to get into, you know, things that happened in my past, certainly medical history and so forth. I really don't think that's anybody's business. You know, I'm focused on this year and improving and working on things I need to get better at. That's how I approach everything. I mean, I'm not sitting here worried about last year or 5 years ago. There's other people that do worry about that, my wife or my parents or my sisters or, you know, people that love me and care about me. But, you know, I do the best I can do to come out and be prepared to play and mentally and physically. And, you know, I give the game everything I can.
The hell it isn't, Tom. With enhanced NFL protocols now in place to diagnose and treat brain trauma, that the league's greatest ever quarterback may have had concussions despite never being listed as such on an injury report, that is news. Tom Brady just turned 40. He says this is all none of our business. And Tom, I sincerely and honestly hope you can say that as you celebrate many healthy birthdays in the years ahead.
With Ryan Tannehill being injured, if they don't have a quarterback that can come in and duplicate that same success, then it's not considered a successful season. Now, Jay Cutler has a losing record as a starter. He hasn't won a lot of big games. They're paying him a lot of money, $10 to $13 million, depending on incentives, to really come in and take this team to the next level. I don't foresee it happening. If you consider the biggest rival in the division is the New England Patriots, Jay Cutler is 0-3 against the New England Patriots in his career. So if you're not going to beat the New England Patriots, you're already playing for second place. And in addition to that, I think the ceiling for this team is probably 8-8 with Jay Cutler. So if you're going to spend that kind of money for an average season, why do it? I can tell you for sure that the Dolphins haven't even come to that step necessarily on what they're going to do with Tannehill in 2018. Now, he makes $18 million this year to be on the shelf, but he makes $17.5 million in 2018, and that's really going to determine on how Tannehill's health is and how he's recovering from the decision that they make, which will likely be knee surgery. Now, here's a scenario for you. Let's say everything works out rosy with Jay Cutler. Best case scenario, he goes out, he wins games, he leads the team to the playoffs. Now, what happens in the offseason if Jay Cutler leads the team to the playoffs and they have a $17.5 million quarterback in Ryan Tannehill who's coming off a big knee injury? Do they try to sign Jay Cutler for $10 to $13 million again? Do they keep Ryan Tannehill for $17.5 million? And that's really just the best case scenario where they'll still have a tough decision to make even if everything works out.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Welcome indeed to an extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Hope you're having an outstanding Monday. My sincerest of apologies right out of the gate. I do apologize for leaving you with Jim Cushlin last week. On Friday, I couldn't talk. What could I do? I had no choice. But I am back, so I certainly do appreciate you being here. Yeah, thank you. And Jim Cushlin is here as well, by the way. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. Cush, I don't know what you do to these people when I'm away, but, boy, my email inbox just fills up.
That's so crazy, too. I thought I was giving them what they wanted. We had our first Football Friday, if you will, back on Friday. We talked some camp things for both the Browns and the Lions. Of course, we didn't have the news on the Browns quarterback, for example, that we do now.
I actually, you're right. We do have some different news on that. I actually did tune in a little bit by way of the Sports Radio 106.5 app, our free mobile app, which, of course, you can download from our website if you so wish. Just go into your little browser on your little phone or go into the App Store, the Play Store, wherever it is that you do, and you can listen by way of the ESPN 106.5 The Ticket mobile app, if you would so like to do so. You can also listen right at the website from your computer or anything else. So I tease Mr. Cushman, of course. We tease because we love, and we certainly appreciate you being with us. So, yeah, you're right. Jim Cushman is right. We do have some new news from the Browns camp. There is going to be a new starting quarterback for preseason game number one after Cody Kessler was listed as the starter, took the reps with the ones first in their brown and orange scrimmage. It's now Brock Osweiler's turn. He'll get the nod as the starter. Toledo native, Central Catholic graduate, Notre Dame alum. Well, he's not. Are you an alum if you don't graduate?
Ooh, good question. I mean, you shouldn't be able to call yourself alum if you didn't actually graduate.
I think to be an alumnus, you have to graduate.
That's what I thought.
Attended.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving is not a Duke alum. He
exactly.
He just went to Duke. DeShone Kizer, and of course we should be clear, DeShone Kizer did not graduate from Duke because he can't, or I mean Notre Dame because he can't graduate from Notre Dame. He just went to the NFL. DeShone Kizer, I'm sure at some point would probably love to return and finish up and get his degree from the University of Notre Dame. At any rate, DeShone is not going to be starting. Brock Osweiler is. He had a little bit of an inconsistent performance, Kush, I think is how they described it, right, at the Brown and Orange scrimmage late last week.
Pretty much. That's basically what I've been hearing, whether it's that particular practice or practices in general, is inconsistent at quarterback is all I've been hearing. We were even speculating.
From all of them, really.
Yeah, no doubt about
it.
Not just
DeShone.
That's correct, and we were even speculating when we were here on Friday in for you that, well, word I'm getting now is Kessler may not even be the starter by Monday, and here
yeah.
we are.
Yeah, and here it is. It's going to be Brock Osweiler now, and of course, this thing could be fluid. Hugh Jackson may just be like, look, we have a really, truly open three-way competition for quarterback. You may see a different starter in week two, no matter what, preseason week two that would be, no matter what you see out of Osweiler. In week number one. It just may be, you know, that we're going to give Cody the next start or give DeShone a start or whatever the case might be. Time will tell. They do like to have this stuff figured out by the third preseason game, of course, which is oftentimes considered a dress rehearsal for the first regular season game since, none of the regulars really play much at all, if they play at all, in preseason game number four. So we'll get into that a little bit. You heard a little bit in the montage from Hugh Jackson and from Jim Caldwell. Then you heard a little bit from Tom Brady and from Bob Lee. Why on earth are we hearing from Bob Lee? And why is Bob Lee filling our ears with profanity? Of all people, I don't expect to hear profanity from ESPN legendary figure, one of the true founders and pioneers of ESPN television going back 30-some years now. Bob Lee, I don't expect to hear that kind of language from. Here's what Tom Brady said about his concussions.
I really don't think that's anybody's business.
And Bob Lee?
The hell it isn't, Tom.
Whoa, oh my. Just feeling a little feisty. A little bit of feist there from Mr. Bob Lee.
I really don't think that's anybody's business.
What do you think?
The hell it isn't, Tom.
Wow. Whose side are you on? Are you on the side of Mr. Brady?
I really don't think that's anybody's business.
Or do you think Bob Lee is right?
The hell it isn't, Tom.
You heard more on the montage there, and I'll play it again in a second. But we're going to talk. I listened to this discussion at length this morning, Cushlin, and I don't know if you did on Mike and Mike. And we encourage you, of course, to listen to Mike and Mike all the time, right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. But soon to be, by the way, in a couple of months, it'll be Trey and Mike as Mike Greenberg moves on to more television duties, and Trey Wingo takes over. Anyway, I listened on Mike and Mike this morning to this really, really interesting debate and discussion about whether or not Tom Brady is right. Can he just tell everybody this is none of your business? Leave me alone. It's my business. Whether or not I had a concussion last year or whether or not I've had a concussion in previous years, it's really just nobody else's business but mine. Or whether or not Tom Brady has some sort of an obligation. And this is where Greenberg kind of really got going a little bit, saying it's not just about your business, Tom, or at least asking. Greenberg very rarely takes a strong stance one way or the other. He said, it's not really about your business, about whether or not you had it, Tom. It's more about, do you have an obligation as the most famous player in the world, arguably? In fact, is that arguable anymore? Kush, who do you think the most recognizable name and or face in the National Football League today is? If you were to show pictures to little kids running around the streets in Bangladesh, or in Paris, or in Seoul, South Korea, or in Sacramento, California, or in Kenosha, Wisconsin. If you were to show the faces of different NFL players and or just their names written on a card, whose do you think would be the most recognizable?
Honestly, yeah.
All of the above.
Out of all of the above, especially if we're talking active, that it would be Brady because, you know, there's Peyton Manning's not playing anymore.
Yeah, his would have been up there. I'm just thinking, you know, Cam Newton, of course, had a really super high profile when he won the MVP a couple of years ago, and he did a lot of commercials, you know, especially the one with the kid, and you know, everybody really liked, you know, with the NFL Play 60 thing. I'm trying to think, I don't think Aaron Rodgers would carry the name recognition and the facial recognition, although his State Farm commercials raised his profile
right.
pretty high. And if those commercials air in other countries, maybe him doing the discount double check might carry. I mean, worldwide, honestly, I think it's got to be Tom Brady. Ezekiel Elliott, no. I'm thinking solely because he's a Cowboy. Not that Zeke in 1 year would have surpassed anything like Brady. But Cowboys, think about really high-profile teams. Cowboys are known around the world. Probably the Raiders are known around the world.
I don't
probably
think he'd be on the top
Steelers.
Of the,
What's that?
I don't think he'd be on the top of the list, but I think Gronk is up there.
Oh, I don't see. I don't even think in foreign. I don't know. I don't know. If somebody saw Gronk's face, I don't know that they would think, "Oh, that's Rob Gronkowski." I think if they saw Tom Brady's face, they know that's Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. That's why I said he's much farther down. He's not at the top.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know. I don't even know if there's anybody close. I'm trying to think of somebody. You know, look at who was in the Super Bowl with them. It would be Matt Ryan and the Falcons. They're not really that. Well, I think really Tom Brady is probably the face of the league. I think Tom Brady is the face of the league and the face probably more recognizable around the country and around the globe. All of that, of course, I'm just speculating upon because of what Mike Greenberg said this morning, which was that Tom Brady might, or at least he asked the question, does Tom Brady have the obligation as the most famous player in the sport and arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, an obligation to set an example for young players, kids, high schoolers, or even college students, saying if you have a brain injury, you've got to tell somebody. You've got to disclose it. We all know where football is. We all know about the hysterics, about brain injuries and whether or not it's going to debilitate you later in life and all of those kinds of things. And all kids are taught now if you're dizzy, if you're woozy, if you see, you know, double vision, if you see blurriness, you know, all those different things that go into concussion symptom testing, they're all told if you have any of that, tell a coach immediately. And the coach's instructions are, without exception, to get that person out of the game and have them diagnosed by a trainer and a doctor before they're cleared to come back. That's the new way of the world in football, which is why, by the way, the attacks on football, to me, are so misguided. Football has never been safer to play. This was never the case before. Anyway, since we're instructing kids to do that, wouldn't the most important thing in the world to be the most famous player in the world to set the example? Hey, kids, I'm Tom Brady. When I got hit last year and I felt a little dizzy and I wasn't sure if I had suffered a concussion, I did the right thing and told my coach. And I told my trainer, and the doctors took a look, and this is what they found. And it's more important to me to be healthy for the long term than it was to play in that next series or to play in that next game. You know, that's kind of where Mike Greenberg was trying to guilt Tom Brady, without having Tom Brady there, by the way, trying to guilt him into saying, yeah, I owe this to the kids. And Tom Brady said, actually, no, I kind of don't. This is nobody's business but mine.
I really don't think that's anybody's business.
On whose side are you at 866-240-1065? Is Tom Brady right or is Bob Lee right? Here's a little bit more from Tom Brady in context.
Tom Brady, is it?
No, that's not him. I want to hear the Tom part of that. I want to hear the Tom part of the Tom Brady story before I hear the Bob Lee part of the Tom Brady story.
The hell it isn't, Tom.
All right, I think we're all messed up here. Jim, do you have that loaded up for me so we can hear this part from just what Tom Brady had to say yesterday when he was asked about having concussions.
Sure, give me a second. Let me get this cue back
Tom
up
Brady
on my
Tom Brady isn't known as...
Yeah, no, that's not it either. I want to hear the Tom Brady part from the beginning of the montage, if you have that for me. Do you? Go ahead.
I don't want to get into, you know, things that happened in my past. Certainly medical history and so forth. I really don't think that's anybody's business. You know, I'm focused on this year and improving and working on things I need to get better at. That's how I approach everything. I mean, I'm not sitting here worried about last year or 5 years ago. There's other people that do worry about that, my wife or my parents or my sisters or, you know, people that love me and care about me. But, you know, I do the best I can do to come out and be prepared to play and mentally and physically. And, you know, I give the game everything I can.
All right. And he does. I don't think anybody would have any issue with that. The question is, of course, what about the rest of that? What about the whole, you know, what about the whole?
I really don't think that's anybody's business.
Is a player's business just, or excuse me, a player's health just his own business, even if he's the most famous player in the world? And it should be pointed out too, Jim, and you, if you're listening, at 866-240-1065, if you want to call, it should be pointed out clearly, and I think it was Golic who brought this up too this morning. If Tom Brady wasn't married to a world-famous supermodel, this wouldn't be a story. Because nobody would be interviewing Mrs. Brady if she was just, you know, Mrs. Brady from, I don't know, from Annapolis, Maryland, and she's, you know, was a secretary by trade, and she met Tom Brady, and they fell in love, and she's just Tom Brady's wife. If she wasn't a supermodel, she wouldn't be being interviewed. And if she's not being interviewed, she doesn't slip in the, oh, yeah, I think Tom had some concussions, and, well, we won't talk about that. It's probably just his business then, and nobody else's business, and he shouldn't have to answer these questions. But let's hear part of that again, if we can.
You know, what happened last year, and you know, I'm focused on this year and improving and working on things I need to get better at. So that's how I approach everything. I mean, I'm not sitting here worried about last year or 5 years ago. There's other people that do worry about that, my wife or my parents or my sisters or, you know, people that love me and care about me. But, you know, I do the best I can do to come out and be prepared to play and mentally and physically, and you know, I give the game everything I can.
And he has, by the way, been exactly that. He has been all of the above, has he not? He has given the game every... I'm sorry, he has been prepared to play mentally and physically all the time. He had 1 year in which he missed a significant amount of time. Matt Cassel made a name for himself and cashed in on a few contracts after that. But beyond that, Tom Brady has just been a model of physical and mental health. He's been just a model of consistency in that regard. So he says it's none of my business, and Bob Lee, make your full point once again.
Tom Brady isn't known as a scrambling quarterback, but Friday morning he was an open field marvel. Talking to reporters at Patriots camp, and by the way, a Brady press availability can be as frequent as a solar eclipse. Brady was asked flat out by our colleague Mike Reese whether Gisele Bündchen's statement that her husband had suffered concussions was indeed accurate. Tom Brady's response, it's none of your business. The hell it isn't, Tom. With enhanced NFL protocols now in place to diagnose and treat brain trauma, that the league's greatest ever quarterback may have had concussions despite never being listed as such on an injury report, that is news. So was Roger Goodell's response to that recent CTE case series. He cited a 4-year-old study on a longer lifespan for players, even as his chief medical officer was saying, quote, it's very clear repetitive head injuries bring long-term health risks. Tom Brady just turned 40. He says this is all none of our business. And Tom, I sincerely and honestly hope you can say that as you celebrate many healthy birthdays in the years ahead.
I want to take this a little bit further. As I listened to that this morning and I kind of formulated my thoughts for today's show, I thought not only is Tom Brady right, you know, the question here, is Tom Brady right or is Bob Lee right on whose side are you in this? I found myself leaning to the Tom Brady side, away from the Bob Lee side, and I found myself asking this. And Chris, you can feel free to address this if you wish. But why aren't there ever injury reports made public in the National Football League? Why is this ever a fan's business? Why is it ever the media's business? Why do they need to know if somebody rolled an ankle and that's why they're missing the game? Other than the fact that it's injury-related or health-related versus discipline. If somebody is not in a game come Sunday because of a discipline issue, that can be announced. Or a team-related issue, they could say rules violation, whatever they want. Or they could say injured. Why is it that the NFL requires every player, or excuse me, every team, to report the health status of every player? If somebody is questionable, probable, or out, and what body part it is, why is that my business? Why should I be told that it's Le'Veon Bell's knee, or that it's, I don't know, Alex Mack's back, or that it's, Amir Abdullah's shoulder, or that it's Matt Stafford's ankle? I've never really quite understood why public knowledge has to be made of everybody's injury and health status. Why is this our business and not just theirs? I mean, I suppose that they want to put out an injury list to let fans know who's healthy and who isn't ahead of time, maybe because it'll determine if they want to buy a ticket or not. I might be okay with that, but let's just say injured. Let's just say, you know, these three guys are on the questionable list this week. These three guys are on the out list this week, and the rest of these guys are probable, and the rest of these guys are fully healthy. Why do they have to declare what part and how it happened and when it happened and all the rest? I quite frankly think that most National Football League players are smart enough, particularly today, when more is known about brain trauma, when more is known about long-term effects of hits on the head, et cetera, I think they're probably more intelligent and aware than any time in NFL history. That if they have a brain, you know, concussion, or if they have a think they may have had a concussion, if they have any, some sort of dizziness, confusion, et cetera, as I described before, they go and tell the trainer. That's between them and the trainer. I don't know why that has to make it up to the broadcast booth. I don't know why that has to be transmitted to the fans, and I don't know why that has to be transmitted to the media, you know, over and over and over again, especially long after the fact. As Bob Lee says, you know, Tom Brady, you know, if they didn't report this to the Patriots and the Patriots didn't report it to us, well, and there's hell to pay. Why? Why? Every player should be, with the guidance of their medical team, their medical professionals, should be allowed to choose their own course of treatment, should be allowed to choose when they want to come back to play football, knowing what they know about the risks, whether it's getting a cortisone shot that's going to temporarily ease the pain of something that's going to hurt a hell of a lot later when the shot wears off, and might even hurt a lot later for years and years and years to come. How many times do we see players who can't walk? They limp, they're on crutches, they're in wheelchairs, a la Earl Campbell. But they make all these decisions themselves with the medical advice of their team. Their medical team, that is, not their football team. Why does this have to become media knowledge? I want your thoughts on that as we continue at 866-240-1065. I can't talk about it on the air right now with you, but if you get in line, I will get you on the radio. I got to get out, though, because I got to tell you about the stat of the day.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket presents The Wild Stat of the Day, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Buffalo Wild Wings Wild Stat of the Day. Anibal Sanchez had a rough outing, to say the least, in Baltimore yesterday, giving up a career-high 8 runs in the loss when he managed just 3-plus innings of work. But the big blow? Well, there were 5 big blows. Career-high 5 home runs allowed by Anibal, the first 3 putting Detroit in a 4-0 hole just 17 pitches into the game. And for those reasons, that is our Buffalo Wild Wings Wild Stat of the Day. Coming up, we're going to get to some of your phone calls, but we're also going to go down to Miami and check in with Kevin Noggle of TheFinsider.com. TheFinsider. Yeah, he's a Dolphins writer. Why the hell do we care about the Dolphins up in Northwest Ohio? Well, you know exactly why. Because Jay Cutler is in and Colin Kaepernick is still out, which is exactly how it should be in this particular case. And we'll talk to Kevin Noggle about why. Coming up right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Once again, it's the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
It is indeed rolling onward at 3:38. Thanks for being with us right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. A story away from the Detroit Lions camp, away from the Cleveland Browns camp, although we do have stories on both of those particular teams coming up shortly, the ones that we like to bring you the most news on. But this one comes from down in South Florida, where, Jay Cutler lured out of the broadcast booth that he really hadn't even gotten into yet. I think he was, like, kind of still on his way. He hadn't actually been inside of it yet. You know, people need to realize, too, Jay Cutler hadn't retired because he was done playing football. Jay Cutler couldn't get a job. Jay Cutler, as we talk about the comparison to Colin Kaepernick, was in the same boat. Physically gifted, able to do some things for a team under center, but had a terrible personality that nobody wanted to sign because they didn't like his personality. They didn't like his leadership ability mostly. And, you know, it wasn't a matter of him taking a Fox job because I'm done playing football. It's just that if I can't get a job throwing it, I'll get a job talking about it. And, of course, now somebody said, hey, we do need you to throw it. And that somebody is his former offense coordinator, Adam Gase, the head coach down there in Miami. And that's where we go now for this very interesting and moderately controversial decision by the Dolphins to give Jay Cutler $10 million. Kevin Nogel writes about the Dolphins for the SB Nation website, The Finsider. That's with the PH, of course, thefinsider.com. I kind of like that name. And, Kevin, thanks for the time this afternoon joining us up here in Toledo. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm really great because I think this was the best of all of the possibilities for the Dolphins to make the best of a bad situation. I think this is probably the right choice. You don't want to lose Ryan Tannehill. You don't want to have to go scrambling for somebody who's not in the league anymore or sign somebody who wants to be in the league but can't seem to find a place like Colin Kaepernick or anybody else. And you don't want to go to war with Matt Moore as your full-time starting quarterback. So all things considered, I think this is the right choice. How has it been received down there amongst the Dolphin fans that you've talked with or read on the Finsider?
I think that's probably about right. It was the best choice out of some bad choices. I think that Colin Kaepernick would have been a hard sell in Miami. I think you heard a couple of Tim Tebow references. You heard a couple of Christian Ponder references. But at the end of the day, Dolphins fans realize if Adam Gase wanted a guy he already coached, you have to assume that's the right choice.
I even heard a Kyle Orton reference somewhere today. I mean, they're really looking in every single corner, every nook and cranny of the football world, or formerly in the football world, to find somebody. And, you know, truth be told, I mean, as bad as the situation is and as bad as this might be a bad choice, but the best of them a bunch of bad choices, how bad is it really? Given the fact of what you said, not only does Jay Cutler know Adam Gase, he knows his system, he knows his terminology, he knows his offense, and quite frankly, he thrived under his offense better for a single season than he has really at any of the other, nine seasons in his career. He put up good numbers, good touchdown-to-interception ratio, and, I mean, I could see, if there's any... You know, if there's any weapons or offensive line to protect him, I could see Jay Cutler doing a few things for this team in whatever time that he has before Ryan Tannehill reclaims his spot.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, is that the Dolphins coaches and front office personnel, I think, threw names at a wall to see who stuck. And at the end of the day, Adam Gase said, no, Jay Cutler is the guy I want. If we can get him, we get him. Because exactly that. You're four and a half, five weeks, somewhere around there, away from the regular season officially starting, and you're bringing in a guy who has to learn an entirely new offensive system, unless it's Jay Cutler, because he comes in, the terminology is going to be the same. Some of it's going to be a little bit different of the system, because Adam Gase had to change his system last year when he realized that Jay Ajayi is a running back that can carry the team, and Gase went to a more run-first than pass-first offense. So there's going to be a little bit of tweaks that Cutler has to learn, and he's got to get some chemistry with the receivers, but you have a starting point that's so much further ahead than anybody else they could have brought in.
By the way, speaking of Dolphin receivers, word is that you got one of our favorite guys up here from this neck of the country down there working with him. Megatron is working out with the Dolphin receivers, right?
Yeah, he was in camp today. Sean Jefferson, again, a Detroit Lions receiver and then assistant wide receiver coach and wide receiver coach, is now the wide receiver coach down in Miami. Mm-hmm. So he definitely invited Megatron to come down there and help out. I don't think there's anything here more than probably just a one-day visit, but he definitely worked with the receivers today. He was there throughout all the drills, and then I'm sure did film work and stuff in the background that we don't get to see. But, yeah, he was definitely in Miami today working out with the receivers.
Did Calvin teach the Dolphin receivers how to be 6'5", 230, and run a 4.3 and have a 38-inch vertical and be one of the greatest physical specimens in the history of the position?
the best moment was, there's a great picture that's going around Twitter, but when Calvin Johnson was standing right next to Jakeem Grant, who's all of like 5'8". So you just had these two wide receivers that are clearly on different spectrums, of different ends of the height spectrum. It was great.
I could see how he could learn a lot from Calvin. Boy, they really, you play the game away. No, he's going to have to play the game an entirely different way. I'm probably like a father-son look there. We're talking to Kevin Nogle of TheFinsider.com, which is an SB Nation site covering the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins, of course, signed Jay Cutler. I want to get to the Kaepernick part of the story in a second, but my man Jim Cushlin here has got to follow up with you on Mr. Tannehill.
Yeah, and obviously this is the worst kind of news. We thought it might go down. It always seems to go down this way, of course, guys. Whenever we hear in camp, oh, non-contact injury, it's always usually the worst thing. It's sounding like that's how it's going to play out. And you got to wonder, regardless, in a way, of what Jay Cutler is able to do, because obviously this is going to be a duration move for this season, what's going to happen? What are they talking about right now, Kevin, in terms of what might happen with Tannehill after this year?
A lot of talk right now that he's probably going to have to try to restructure his contract. I think that the leverage is still on Tannehill's side there, because what are you going to do without him? He's going to be in demand if he became a free agent. So there's very little guaranteed money left on his deal after this season. So at some point, the team could cut him and get some cap savings back. I don't think that there's any way they can actually do that, because there's nobody there for them to bring in as his replacement. So I think after this year, you see him, maybe he restructures it, maybe they go to same salary, but they make it more incentive-based. But I think that you see him as the starting quarterback in 2018.
They haven't ruled him out for the rest of the season, have they?
No, not officially. My guess is that they're still waiting for some of the doctors to come back, but I would imagine that the Dolphins are going to push him towards, let's just get the surgery, let's get it to 100%, and let's get you back in 2018.
Okay, so there's not really a chance then that he could be healthy by week 9 or something, and suddenly, you know, depending on how Jay Cutler is playing, you got a question here, do you bring him back or not?
I think that right now the doctors, or all the prognosis, seem to say that there's potential for this to be a 6 to 8 week recovery time and then come back, but that's basically the exact same thing they said in December, and we saw how easily it got injured again now. So I'm guessing the team pushes for, let's just get it to surgery, but there is an outside chance that it's a 6 to 8 week recovery, and then maybe he can come back later in the season.
Kevin Nogle breaking down the Dolphins quarterback situation with us. Of course, it was maybe the most interesting development thus far in the NFL training camp season slash preseason. Okay, I don't want to drag you into all the politics of Colin Kaepernick versus Jay Cutler, but you're on Twitter, you're on social media, you do this for a living. You know that a lot of people who are Colin Kaepernick supporters are saying this is racist. The Dolphins signed a white quarterback who would please the owner and please some of the fans down there and not cause any waves, whereas Colin Kaepernick, of course, brings his police hatred and his protests and his flags, and not the least of which, the Castro T-shirt at a press conference in Miami, a population of, if my numbers are correct, some 32% Cuban-Americans who revile Castro and essentially anybody who supports the reviled Castro. Some are saying there's race involved here, politics involved here. What's your feeling on the, hey, Colin Kaepernick was available, why did they go with Jay Cutler? Was it politically motivated, was it racially motivated, or was it just the right football decision?
I think, honestly, it was a football decision because Adam Gase knows Jay Cutler, and it goes back to that. He has a head start on getting the system down. I will say, Stephen Ross, of any of the owners, and I don't know most of the owners out there or anything like that,
sure,
but of all the owners out there, Stephen Ross is probably the one guy or near the top of the list that will have zero problems with this. The Dolphins had four guys that knelt throughout last season. One of them was a team captain, Michael Thomas, the special teams captain. So this is not an issue for Stephen Ross. This is not an issue for the Dolphins locker room on the kneeling for the national anthem protest type thing there. Now, the Castro piece, that's where you're going to get a little bit of a question mark, because absolutely it's 30 to 40%. I think you said 32% population is Cuban in Miami. And any support for Castro just is not going to fly. And him saying that he was, or he tried to play off the Castro t-shirt as a Malcolm X t-shirt that happened to have Castro, and maybe that was the way he looked at it, but once he went into defending the education system in Cuba as better than ours and how Cuba did some things that are better than America, you're definitely alienating a fan base that if you're now trying to come in as the quarterback, there's going to be question marks. I think the Dolphins would have been able to look past it, and maybe winning solves all of the issues if Kaepernick could have come in and win. But I think that that is a fan base issue. I don't think the Dolphins would have an issue with it, but it's definitely out there.
Your points are well taken about Ross, and your point about Gase's familiarity with Cutler and vice versa are certainly well taken as well. If Jay Cutler is not available, if Jay Cutler says, you know what, no, I'm really, truly committed to broadcasting now, I'm studying, I can't leave them in the lurch like this, so I'm going to be part of their plans going forward this season, I just can't do it. And he takes himself out of the running, and now it's Orton, or do we bring Tebow in, or do we, you know, who else did you say, Ponder, or Kaepernick? Do they then, do you think, risk the Castro backlash from the Cuban-American population in Miami and bring in Kaepernick, or do they go with one of those other guys, still leaving him out?
I personally think they would have gone Kaepernick. He's the best of those options at football. I think that there were reports that Ponder was the number two option, and it was like one or two people saying it out there. I don't think that's true. I think it was Kaepernick, and there were a bunch of stories that the Dolphins were talking about Kaepernick. I don't know if they actually ever talked to Kaepernick, because everything with Cutler seemed to be where they focused. But I think that Kaepernick was the number two option.
How do you think that would have gone over? And I asked that with the Ozzie Guillen story as a backdrop, and I'm sure you're familiar with this. The Marlins, yeah, manager at the time, Ozzie Guillen, was suspended in 2012, so five short years ago, for five games, simply for making comments in which he expressed admiration for Fidel Castro. And he said he admired Castro for a number of reasons. He tried to walk it back once he knew he was in trouble. Said he felt like he betrayed his Latin community. But essentially, he said what he said, and the Marlins said that's not enough of an apology. Five game suspension. The community there went crazy because Ozzie Guillen said nice things about Fidel Castro. Since, like you said, it's not just the T-shirt; it's the comments praising Castro and his education system, and even that it's cheaper they run a cheaper prison system there. They spend less on prison than we do up here, and that sort of thing. Completely tone deaf, by the way. When you're talking about, it doesn't cost a lot of money to maintain a dungeon into which you throw political prisoners, the way they do in Cuba and communist Cuba. But given the fact that Guillen, who was very popular in that community, and then that happened. Do you think that the Dolphins fans and the Cuban-American population down there would have been okay with this, or would they have just hammered Steve Ross until they got rid of him?
I think you would have some of that. I think you definitely would have some people that just could not get past it. And I'm not saying they are wrong for that. I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm saying that they're wrong because they can't get past it.
Okay.
I am not of Cuban descent. I am a Floridian, but I am not of Cuban descent. But I understand and empathize definitely with anybody of Cuban descent.
Sure.
Now, I think that where the Guillen and the Kaepernick sides are different is Ozzie Guillen is in that Latin community, and they're seeing that as a traitor type of situation, whereas Kaepernick, I think, and I may be reading this wrong, but I think it's more of a, he doesn't know better. He doesn't understand what he's saying. He was misinformed. And maybe in that sense, there could be some, hey, if he learns, maybe we can teach him better. And so I think that they could get past it as a community. I think you're definitely going to have a split in there where people just are not going to get past it, and they are going to hold it against him forever.
So let me ask you this, Kevin Nogle, since, as you say, you're not of Cuban descent, but you are a Floridian. When you look at the Colin Kaepernick story and how people would have reacted, if he had the talent of Tom Brady, of Aaron Rodgers, of Andrew Luck, of Matt Ryan, of one of the top quarterbacks in football, do you think that the Miami or the South Beach, if you will, South Florida community would view him a little bit more favorably and be willing to bring him on immediately without any backlash? In fact, take it out of there. Let me take you out of that. If Colin Kaepernick wasn't a marginal quarterback, a guy who had his best years when the league was still figuring out how to defend the read option, they have figured it out now, and you pretty much have to be a damn good pocket passer to make it in this league, and he's a marginal one at best. If he wasn't marginal, if he was Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck-ish, and had said the same things, protested in the same way, worn the same T-shirt, offended the same people, you think he's got a job right now?
You want to go hard. I see how it is. Okay, I do. I do. Because look at the NFL. I mean, it is merit-based up to a point. And then at some point, they go to, well, is the circus outweighing it? Tim Tebow. The circus outweighed Tim Tebow's talent. He could probably be a backup somewhere, and somebody could tool his throwing motion, right, and the circus outweighed him. And I think that's what you're seeing with Kaepernick. Ray Rice is the same way. Granted, it's domestic violence, and that brings up a whole other set of issues.
Sure.
But there definitely is a circus there that he had talent. The circus outweighed it. So Colin Kaepernick, he has talent, but the circus that would follow him, I think, outweighs it to some degree. Now, if you want to play the would he be cut or would he be available if he had that kind of talent, he probably wouldn't be. But yes, I think to some degree you definitely have the merit versus circus, and if he had more talent, the circus could be overlooked.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. You know, the circus, whether it outweighs his talent, I've just kind of phrased it risk versus reward, which, you know, every businessman has to decide when making an important strategic decision. What is the risk? What is the reward? If the reward is big enough to make it worth the risk, I'm going to do it. If the reward isn't very good, and I think at the end of the day, because he is a marginal player at this stage, you know, he had his best years 5 years ago. You know, he's 11-24 as a starter in his last 35 games. He's completed less than 60% of his passes in that time. You know, he's not a sure thing. And if he is a sure thing, and a guy's going to win games and throw touchdowns and you know, lead you to the playoffs, you can put up with the risk. You can take the risk and put up with what you call the circus. But if that's not guaranteed, in his case, it's certainly not. Then, you know, I kind of agree. That's what's really holding him back. It's a football decision versus the circus more than it is the circus or his race or the NFL owners colluding. You don't believe there's collusion, do you?
I don't. I mean, really, when you look at it, now, if you want to say backup quarterbacks, we can get into a different discussion. But at the starter level, you're probably looking at maybe 5, 6, 7 teams that are, you could argue their quarterback is less than Kaepernick's talent or that Kaepernick would fit their system better. So I don't. I think that when we say the collusion, we look at 32 teams and, oh, every owner's against him. But really, I mean, are the Colts expected to go get Kaepernick? Because I think Andrew Luck beats him out. Or the Packers or the Lions or any of those type of teams. You have a quarterback in place. So I don't think that there's collusion in that sense.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And the last thing for you, and Kevin Nogle is our guest. Thanks so much for your really great analysis from down there in South Florida. He writes for thefinsider.com, which is an SB Nation Dolphins website. You know, the last thing when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, I look at this guy as being a risky person because, as I said, he is not necessarily a sure thing as a football player. And when you talk about collusion, you're talking about a whole bunch of guys who would have to get together and say, I'm going to put the best interests of my team aside for an illegal agreement with 31 other players, owners, I should say. If I think that this guy can play and it's going to help my team and my bottom line, I don't care who it is. They're going to go ahead and give this guy a look. If they feel as though that maybe the league as a whole is best served with him not being a part of it because of the circus he brings, not just to an individual team, but to the league, I can understand it. But at the end of the day, these guys are not unified with one another. They're competitors with one another. They are fearsome with one another. I promise you that Jimmy Haslam isn't going to do something that Stephen Ross likes if it hurts him. And I promise you Stephen Ross isn't going to do something that is not necessarily what he thinks is the best interest of the Dolphins because Jerry Jones wants it. And Jerry Jones isn't going to acquiesce to something that Daniel Snyder wants, if it's going to hurt his Cowboys. At the end of the day, they're all competitors. And if any one of those competitive owners thought, this guy can play and help me win, he would have a job right now. Agreed?
I do. I agree. I mean, the owners couldn't even come together and decide on which team they really wanted to go to L.A. a couple years ago.
Oh, that's so true.
So that started an infighting among the owners. So, yes, I think that for 32 teams, for owners to all get together and come to this decision that we're going to hold this guy out, but at the same time you have guys that have domestic violence, that have drug arrests, that have all these other things, those guys are all okay, but we're going to collude against this one guy for whatever reason, whether it's the kneeling, whether it's the police statements, whether it's the Cuban statement, whatever it is,
it
seems like at some point something would have leaked somewhere.
Does his money demands, and not that he has made any, but remember, he opted out of his contract with the Niners, and I think he was scheduled to make $12 million. Nobody expects that he's going to, because, you brought up starter versus backup. I don't think he's going to agree to be a backup for the league minimum. I don't think he would sign for that. That's one of the other reasons I wonder if owners and GMs, when they look at this from the financial standpoint, is he one of the 64 best quarterbacks? Could he be somebody's backup? Of course. Certainly, that's fair. But he won't do it, I'm going to guess, for $4 million or league minimum or $4 million or $5 million. He wants something close to what he was making in San Francisco.
I wouldn't doubt that. I know we've heard that, he hasn't actually made demands. Oh, he's not looking for starter money. But yesterday, before Jay Cutler's deal, there were reports that he's looking for starter money. He wants something in the $12 to $13 million range. And at that, I'm going, hold on. I'm not 100% sure I want that. Now, granted, his contract is $10 million right now, but that he has incentives that can get him up to 13. And if he earns all those incentives, the Dolphins have had a great year, and I'll go for it. But,
well, plus, in his defense, he was indeed negotiating to be the starter. He's there to replace Ryan Tannehill as a starter, not to be somebody's backup. In the scenario we just described, Kaepernick would be negotiating a contract to be somebody's backup, probably.
Right. So it would be interesting, and granted, maybe nobody has ever asked what his demands actually are, but all you've ever heard is he wants starter money. It would be interesting one day or whenever he does sign, because I do believe he eventually ends up getting signed because injuries do happen, to see what he actually signs for.
Yeah, it certainly will be very interesting, and I think that might be one of the biggest things holding him back if he has some sort of delusions of grandeur that he's going to sign for some big contract after everything that has gone down. Kevin Nogol, really great conversation, my friend. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your work down there at thefinsider.com on SB Nation, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great one. All right, there you go. 4:02, a little late here for the top of the hour Sports Center, but it is a coming. And before it comes, congratulations, Jennifer Smith of Toledo. Jennifer was the winner of our Charlotte flyaway contest that we have been running for the last several weeks. So, Jennifer, she gets the big. Can you dig it? She's got those $1,000 gift certificate, good for two round-trip tickets to anywhere in the continental U.S. by way of Toledo Express Airport, Toledo Port Authority, and, of course, ESPN 106.5, the ticket. So congrats to Jennifer, and we're back after this.
On defense, I thought our defense, they played a lot of shell coverage, which was good. Jabril Peppers showed up last night. Miles Garrett showed up last night. Tank, Desmond, I mean, our first group, watching Joe Hayden compete looked like the old Joe to me. On offense, we're really spotty. We can run the ball. I know that. We need to throw the ball better. We need to throw the ball better and throw the ball with more urgency, throw the ball in better spots. But we got to get open, too. So it's a combination of both. Again, we're not supposed to be perfect yet.
I'm not going to talk about health of a position today because I'm going to tell you it could change tomorrow. But what we like with the guys that we have, and we're pleased to have them, they have to kind of find out what works best for them in this league, because you're going to have to use size sometime. Number one thing that you got to have is speed. What we've seen on the field is kind of what we expected. But like I said, let's wait and see.
I don't want to get into, you know, things that happened in my past, certainly medical history and so forth. I really don't think that's anybody's business. You know, I'm focused on this year and improving and working on things I need to get better at. That's how I approach everything. I mean, I'm not sitting here worried about last year or 5 years ago. There's other people that do worry about that, my wife or my parents or my sisters or, you know, people that love me and care about me. But, you know, I do the best I can do to come out and be prepared to play and mentally and physically. And, you know, I give the game everything I can.
The hell it isn't, Tom. With enhanced NFL protocols now in place to diagnose and treat brain trauma, that the league's greatest ever quarterback may have had concussions despite never being listed as such on an injury report, that is news. Tom Brady just turned 40. He says this is all none of our business. And Tom, I sincerely and honestly hope you can say that as you celebrate many healthy birthdays in the years ahead.
With Ryan Tannehill being injured, if they don't have a quarterback that can come in and duplicate that same success, then it's not considered a successful season. Now, Jay Cutler has a losing record as a starter. He hasn't won a lot of big games. They're paying him a lot of money, $10 to $13 million, depending on incentives, to really come in and take this team to the next level. I don't foresee it happening. If you consider the biggest rival in the division is the New England Patriots, Jay Cutler is 0-3 against the New England Patriots in his career. So if you're not going to beat the New England Patriots, you're already playing for second place. And in addition to that, I think the ceiling for this team is probably 8-8 with Jay Cutler. So if you're going to spend that kind of money for an average season, why do it? I can tell you for sure that the Dolphins haven't even come to that step necessarily on what they're going to do with Tannehill in 2018. Now, he makes $18 million this year to be on the shelf, but he makes $17.5 million in 2018, and that's really going to determine on how Tannehill's health is and how he's recovering from the decision that they make, which will likely be knee surgery. Now, here's a scenario for you. Let's say everything works out rosy with Jay Cutler. Best case scenario, he goes out, he wins games, he leads the team to the playoffs. Now, what happens in the offseason if Jay Cutler leads the team to the playoffs and they have a $17.5 million quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, who's coming off a big knee injury? Do they try to sign Jay Cutler for $10 to $13 million again? Do they keep Ryan Tannehill for 17.5? And that's really just the best case scenario, where they'll still have a tough decision to make even if everything works out.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Kushlin, that last part, that's the same question you asked when we talked to Mr. Noble.
I was curious
about
it.
Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's going to be doing an awful lot of money. What if Cutler has a big year? He's 34, though, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, he's 34. I can't imagine them just exposing Ryan Tannehill, who will be snapped up someplace else quickly if they don't get him a good deal, just to try to hope that Jay Cutler captures the magic that has eluded him and that magic arm of his. He's got a great arm.
Yeah,
obviously.
Always did.
One of the very best of his time. But so did Jeff George,
right?
Just for those who are, you know, looking for comparatives. You know, he hasn't been able to find the chemistry, the leadership, the decision-making, the whatever it takes to be a winner and a champion for all of these years. I can't imagine it's going to be too risky for the Miami Dolphins to have Jay Cutler.
No, and if it comes to that, that last part, then I suppose if you're the Dolphins, that's a good problem to have?
Yeah, it would be. I suppose that would be, and that's something I think they would certainly.
I mean, I'd almost in a year rather, if speaking from that Browns fan point of view, Bob, I'd rather have that discussion next year than the discussion we could all start having on their quarterbacks right now.
I completely agree with that. I completely agree with that. All right, hour number two is underway, 14 minutes past four. Thanks for being with us. We got a lot of NFL talk that we're doing today for the most obvious of reasons. Those are, without question, the biggest stories that are going today. Jay Cutler is a Dolphin. Colin Kaepernick is not. They considered Kyle Orton. They considered Tim Tebow. They considered Christian Ponder. They did not apparently consider Colin Kaepernick at all. And that has got a lot of people very, very upset. It's controversial to me. It is poetic justice. It is the right decision to make from a risk versus reward standpoint. It's the right decision to make from a football standpoint. It's the right decision to make from a fan base standpoint. And down in Miami especially, it's the right decision to make from a human decency standpoint. Because of the number of Cuban Americans who know exactly what has happened to their families, and some of them personally themselves, in Castro's communist oppressive society in Cuba that had continued for so many years before his death and continues under his brother. All of that stuff they know full well about, and for them to be subjected to their quarterback being a Castro supporter, a Castro lover, it is, from a decency standpoint, the right thing as well. I'll talk more about that as well as about the Tom Brady story as we continue as well. I can't get enough of this. I could just sit here, Kush, and play this all day long. Tom Brady and Bob Lee.
I really don't think that's anybody's business.
The hell it isn't, Tom.
I really don't think that's anybody's business.
The hell it isn't, Tom.
I could just do that all day. I absolutely love that. Bob Lee, who just, you know, not known for his profanity.
That's true.
Not that it's extraordinarily profane. Right. Anyway, you understand the point.
It's a relative thing for him, it seems like it.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's just the bizarre part about it. I mean, for him to be as, you know, vociferous about this as
the hell it isn't, Tom.
It's our business. I asked that question in the first hour. Yeah. I'm going to take some phone calls here, too. 866-240-1065. I want to take some calls on this question. Do you think that there needs to be an injury report of any kind that is specific to how and where players are hurt? Now, maybe the league does need to tell fans, especially with, you know, with fantasy football generating so much interest, Jim, in the league over the last 5 to 10 years where it's just grown and grown and grown, certainly the NFL doesn't want to just alienate their fans and not, you know, not give them anything. But you understand the point here. I think they can tell these fans who's playing and who's not, which will impact that fantasy football thing, which will impact maybe who wants to buy tickets when a team is coming to town, you know, based on whether or not their favorite player is going to play, that sort of thing, or their favorite opponent for that matter. But they can just say, you know, probable. What is it? Let's go in reverse order. Active. Probable, questionable, and out. I think that's the reverse.
Doubtful. Doubtful.
Oh, there is a doubtful.
Yeah.
All right, so there's active.
Uh-huh.
There's probable.
Right.
There's
questionable.
There's doubtful, and there's out.
Correct.
Okay, there you go. Why does it have to say questionable, knee? Why does it have to say probable, concussion? Why does it have to say doubtful, ankle? Why is it our business what health of these guys, what the health of these guys is, and especially as Tom Brady explained in his part of this discussion today, why is it our business after the fact? Why should anybody feel like they have a right to know what somebody's health condition was when they played last year or maybe the year before that for that matter?
You know, I don't want to get into, you know, things that happened in my past, certainly medical history and so forth. I really don't think that's anybody's business. So, you know, what happened last year, and, you know, I'm focused on this year and improving and working on things I need to get better at. So that's how I approach everything. I mean, I'm not sitting here worried about last year or 5 years ago. There's other people that do worry about that, my wife or my parents or my sisters or, you know, people that love me and care about me. But, you know, I do the best I can do to come out and be prepared to play and mentally and physically, and, you know, I give the game everything I can.
Shouldn't that be it? Shouldn't that be it? My wife? My parents, my sister, maybe if I have kids, my kids, they need to know, and they deserve to know what my health status is, because they love me and they care about me. Why does Paul in Chippewa Falls need to know how I'm doing and whether or not I had a concussion? Why does Jim in Toledo deserve to know how I'm doing? Why does Brad in White House deserve to know? I mean, honestly, I'll play when I'm healthy enough to play, and I won't play when I can't, and that's kind of my business as to what it is, right? I mean, does their celebrity status and their status as public figures open up the medical books on them? Do we not still have the right to privacy, particularly when it comes to doctor-patient privilege? Does that get wiped out because I'm famous? I don't get doctor-patient privilege anymore because the team gets to reveal everything to everybody as to how injured I am? I don't know if I really agree with Bob Lee. I think I agree with Tom Brady here, despite Bob Lee's passionate defense of his position.
Tom Brady isn't known as a scrambling quarterback, but Friday morning he was an open field marvel. Talking to reporters at Patriots camp, and by the way, a Brady press availability can be as frequent as a solar eclipse. Brady was asked flat out by our colleague Mike Reese whether Gisele Bündchen's statement that her husband had suffered concussions was indeed accurate. Tom Brady's response: it's none of your business. The hell it isn't, Tom. With enhanced NFL protocols now in place to diagnose and treat brain trauma, that the league's greatest ever quarterback may have had concussions despite never being listed as such on an injury report, that is news.
Bob, I got to ask, whose brain is this anyway? Is this Bob Lee's brain? Is this Chris Berman's brain? One of your colleagues, maybe, because of your friendship with them, that maybe they may want you to know. But last time I checked, this is Tom Brady's brain that we're talking about. Isn't this up to him?
So was Roger Goodell's response to that. Tom Brady's response, it's none of your business. The hell it isn't, Tom, with enhanced NFL protocols now in place to diagnose and treat brain trauma.
Whose brain trauma? Potentially. Yours? It's Tom's, isn't it? I just don't understand why we need any medical reports on players' body parts and how they're how healthy they are and how healthy they are not. I really just don't understand that. I don't think it's anybody's business. 866-240-1065, 866-240-1065. We'll take your calls. I know I've kind of monologued long enough here to let some people drop off. My apologies. If you dropped off, get back in line, and we'll put you on the air ASAP. We do have no more guests the rest of the way, so we do have plenty of time for your phone calls between now and 5 o'clock. 866-240-1065. I know Jimmy called in the first half hour, so let's bump him up here and get him on now. He called right before we talked to Kevin Noggle from down in South Florida. Hey, Jimmy, what's shaking, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? You might as well just pencil me in. It's a perfect day. I always have this point in time where I'm driving back. I'm a local truck driver here in town. So, hey, listen, the whole listing of...
Come on, don't blow me off. What you hauling, I said?
Oh, I'm just an LTL driver for one of the national companies. I haul just about anything you can imagine. This area, it's a lot of auto parts, plastics, resins, you know.
Well,
you name
you
it, I haul it.
As long as you don't have any explosives on that rig, because I don't want you
every
talking
once
to me.
In a while, we get a little fireworks, stuff like that, low-grade stuff.
Well, then don't call me when you're hauling those.
Yeah, I don't have any illegal aliens or anything. I don't have any illegal aliens or, livestock or anything like that.
No, I trust you, my man. I trust you. Okay, so what's up? What you got?
Hey, listen, for all the degenerate gambling that used to go on, you know, and the mob and stuff, you know,
yep.
That's why, you know, they used to have to, they didn't want all the mob influences and the gambling and all that trying to influence, you know, they tried to be transparent. It started in horse racing. Everybody trying to find out and get an edge. So they just started listing the injuries so that they could try to, you know, get some of the mob influence and the gamblers out of it. So you get it out there, they get a better line on things, and you know, they have less people penetrating the organizations.
Did you ever see The Last Boy Scout?
Absolutely. Everybody knows that. That's the greatest movie ever, man.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's in a cushion. You ever see The Last Boy Scout, Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans?
No, I haven't, actually.
Oh, my God. What?
Awesome.
You're not American or something. I mean, my goodness. You got to see that. Anyway, yeah, but that line, Jimmy, was in that movie that you just, you know, the way you just described it as he was screaming about how he got hooked on painkillers, and he was talking about why, screaming, talking about Damon Wayans, who was a quarterback.
Right, I remember that, actually.
Yeah, and he screamed at Bruce Willis. He said, why do you think the NFL has an injury, pro football has an injury report? They didn't use the words NFL. They'd have gotten sued. Why do you think pro football has an injury report? It's so the gamblers can have a more accurate spread. That's why they did it right out of the gate. And by gamblers, I assume they meant the illegal bookmakers.
Well, sure, but you think about it. They didn't want people trying to hang around the practice facilities, trying to get in the players' pockets, trying to bribe staff, find out who's who, who's got what.
Yeah.
Because they had, you know, that's how they got their hooks into people, and pretty soon they could get closer to the players that way. So
yeah,
it's just easier. But I completely agree with Tom Brady and Bob Lee and these people. They're just so smug. You know, hey, Bob, I want to know, you got hemorrhoids? You know what I mean? Tell me, you know, you're about as smug as I just hate these guys. Who do they think they are? Oh, the hell with that. You know what? I it's just like he said, you know, he'll pay the price for playing the game, but he goes out there, he does his level best. And I'm no Patriots fan. Look, they bend the rules. They don't report injuries, or they give you as little as possible for the opposition to go on. But I agree with Tom. Look, he's obviously not stumbling around. He's not Willie Mays in center field for the Mets. He's not punch drunk. He's clearly at the top of his powers. He doesn't owe any 8-year-old playing football. He owes them nothing. That's for parents. And they just want to do this because they're just hysterical about football and CTE. It's just, I'm so sick and tired of all these sanctimonious, smug sports journalists, Bob Lee included.
My friend, I have very few responses for you other than...
Can you dig it?
Because that is an outstanding telephone call. Jimmy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, man. Good stuff from Jimmy in Toledo. Very, very good phone call, and I agree. Some of these reporters and some of these, you know, analysts and investigators, they are very smug and they are very sanctimonious and they are very holier than thou, and they do act like, because these other individuals are public figures, and especially as they are the best player, et cetera, that they owe the paying public more than what, you know, a regular member of the paying public owes. And I don't agree with that. I mean, do they owe access to themselves? To a degree they do. And I'm sure Tom Brady, as well as Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford and, you know, top-tier quarterbacks, top echelon players in their various cities, they do spend time signing autographs, making appearances at charity events, and so on and so on. Do they owe access because of their fame and their fortune? Yeah, they do. They owe access to themselves. You are essentially selling yourself and your talents to a public that is paying an awful lot of money to come and watch you play. And because of that, you owe access to that paying public to keep them interested, to keep them really vested in you, invested in you, and in your team, and in the sport. I see that. But you don't know them personal information. You just don't. You don't go up to Bob Lee, like Jimmy said, and say, hey, you dealing with some indigestion there? You look a little thick. You got some stomach problems there, I'm assuming, right? Well, what's your body mass index there, Bob? Because I kind of think, by judging by that double chin there, you might not be fully healthy. You had your heart check lately? Did you go through one of those stress tests? Yeah, I mean, you might want to check that out, but, you know, and then make sure you report to us when you're done what your BMI is. I think Bob Lee would be pretty offended by that. And I don't really want to pick on Bob Lee, because of all of the sanctimonious smug guys that you see sometimes on sports television, sports reporters, I think Bob Lee is one of my favorites. He's usually been a pretty fair guy. He's not an obnoxious twit like Bob Costas. He's not obnoxious and all-knowing like, you know, some other guys who are, you know, just kind of like nails on a chalkboard. I kind of like Bob Lee. But my point remains the same, and that is, you know, hey, Bob, you know, you shouldn't have to tell everybody about your health, and you shouldn't expect for Tom Brady to have to tell everybody about his health either.
The hell it isn't, Tom.
I really don't think that's anybody's business.
The hell it isn't, Tom.
Wow. Your thoughts on it at 866-240-1065. Going to take a timeout here. And after the bottom of the hour Sports Center timeout, I'm going to come back and finish off Colin Kaepernick. And I'm going to finish him off in a way that I think he needs to be finished off. And that is to bury his career along with all of his activism and along with all of his sanctimony and his hypocrisy, his police hating, his race baiting, his oppression ignoring, his political maneuvering, and then complaining when nobody wants to hire him to be their quarterback. I want to put it all to bed as best I can, at least until tomorrow when something else stupid happens, and we've got to talk about him again. We'll do that coming up right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
The Extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket.
Yes, indeed. Go to my Facebook page right now. Well, I guess you can't really, because you got to do a friend request and I'm limited out, but I'll put it on the ticket feed as well. I got a picture of Colin Kaepernick standing in front of the podium in Miami as the Dolphins hosted the Niners, and there was a press conference, and Colin Kaepernick wore that Fidel Castro T-shirt to a press conference in Miami. Fidel Castro, of course, the communist dictator of Cuba for so many years, who oppressed so many people, who killed so many people, who locked up so many people in his dungeons, political prisoners. I mean, it was so awful in Castro's Cuba, which is why, because of human rights violations, the United States had a trade embargo with Cuba for decades, before it was lifted a couple of years ago by then-President Barack Obama, then reimposed, by the way, by President Donald Trump, because Cuba is still run that way. But anyway, Fidel Castro, who just the picture of human oppression, Colin Kaepernick wore a Castro T-shirt. And I put a little caption there next to the picture. Hi, I'm Colin. I love Castro. Why won't Miami sign me? Miami Dolphins chose Jay Cutler yesterday. And the reason they chose Jay Cutler, well, there's probably three strong reasons. Number one, Adam Gase is a pure passer. Let me start over. Jay Cutler is a much better pure passer than Colin Kaepernick. Nobody will dispute that. Number two, Adam Gase knows that pure passer because he coached Jay Cutler, and he had his best season with him. So we figured this is an easy transition in to replace Ryan Tannehill, who is out. And then number three, pretty sure Jay Cutler won't be wearing Castro T-shirts into Miami with its 34% Cuban-American population. Colin Kaepernick has managed to make so many people hate him with his hypocrisy. For him to have the nerve to declare that he is being blackballed, and for those who defend him, by the way, to say that he is being blackballed, that he is somehow being made to pay for expressing his freedom of speech, and so on and so forth, and that's why he's not allowed to play. I ask you now the same question that I asked my guest from South Florida, Kevin Nogle. And I said, if Colin Kaepernick didn't throw the ball like Colin Kaepernick, if Colin Kaepernick threw the ball like, let's say, Aaron Rodgers, and he still ticked off everybody that he ticked off with his flag protest, his anthem protest, which translates into a military protest, his police protest, his race-baiting words, all of that social activism, which is just a wedge to divide people apart. If he had done all of those things, but threw the ball like Aaron Rodgers, you think he's got a job right now? You damn Skippy, he's got a job right now. If Colin Kaepernick did all of those things identically, but had the talent and the resume of Tom Brady, think he's got a job right now? Hell yes, he's got a job right now. If Colin Kaepernick did all of those things and threw the ball like Matt Ryan, the NFL's reigning MVP, think somebody picks him up by now? Absolutely, they pick him up right now. Why am I saying all of these things? I'm pointing all of these obvious things out in order to clarify the point I've been making for months on these airwaves. Colin Kaepernick is not some sort of a political prisoner here. The opposite of a political prisoner, instead of being locked up, being locked out, being blackballed. He is not being kept out because of that activism, even though in my estimation, he should be. I wouldn't want him on my team under any circumstances. A guy that has said the things that he has said about this country, a guy that has said the things he has said about our police, a guy that has said the things he has said about our flag and about our military, etc. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my team. You know, they say you root for the name on the front of the jersey, not for the name on the back. That's true. But sometimes you do recognize the guy in the jersey. And when he stands for something as despicable as you know, somebody might stand, and everybody's level, of course, is different. But with Colin Kaepernick, he jumped up and down all over mine. You don't want him in that jersey. You can't just erase the name on the back of the jersey and root for the name on the front of it. I wouldn't want him under any circumstances. But the point is, there are 32 teams, and he remains unsigned, not because of all of that, but because nobody thinks he can play anymore, at least not well enough to warrant all of the backlash that's going to come with all of that. And again, if he could throw it like Roethlisberger, he'd be signed. If he could throw it like Derek Carr, he'd be signed. If he could put up the numbers that you get from a Matthew Stafford, he would have a contract. And oh, by the way, while we're on that subject, we should also point out that this is not somebody who was booted from the league or from his last employer. He opted out of a $14 million a year contract from the San Francisco 49ers. I may have been mistakenly, I was corrected by a friend in the Bay Area who sent a private message to me saying, hey, Bob, it's not 12, it's 14. He walked away from a $14 million contract to play this year with the 49ers. He opted out because he thought he could do better on the open market. He overestimated his skills and underestimated how disliked he was for all of the reasons we have talked about. The hypocrisy. A man who despises American political leadership, but yet admitted publicly that he does not vote. How do you change political leadership? You vote. It's the most precious right we have. A man who, as I've said many times, lives and works under police protection when he's in the National Football League, at practice, at games, on the road, in the airport, in the hotels, road games, stadiums, police protection always. but rips and condemns police as being racist killers. Man who says he stands against oppression of people. And that's why he doesn't like the American flag and what it represents, because too many people, in his opinion, of color are oppressed in the United States. But yet a man who supports Fidel Castro, guilty of some of the most oppressive human rights violations in the history of the modern, or at least in the modern world. I want to go back and play something for you now. When Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers went a year ago to Miami in the middle of his protest, this is back in November, he went to Miami when he was still doing all of his kneeling and everything else with the 49ers and went to a press conference wearing a Malcolm X hat and a Fidel Castro t-shirt. He was challenged there by a Cuban-American reporter by the name of Armando Salguero. Perhaps you remember this. Armando Salguero, Cuban-American, knows what life was like and is like for those on the island nation of Cuba who get on board driftwood trying to paddle the 90 miles that it takes to go from Cuba to Miami to get to the United States, knowing that there are patrols in the water to turn them back. They get into boats, floats, just about anything that they can traverse the 90 miles on water on. They go there to try to get to the United States just to get away from the oppressive regime in Cuba. Colin Kaepernick stands in Miami and mocks all of them wearing a Castro t-shirt. He was challenged this past November by the reporter Armando Salguero, and I think it's worth listening to this exchange one more time.
Colin, one of the times that you made that stance about fighting systematic oppression, you wore a Fidel Castro t-shirt after the game. Are you not aware that Fidel Castro is one of the 20th century's big oppressors of people?
I wore a Malcolm X shirt.
And Fidel Castro was on that shirt as well.
I am a believer in Malcolm X and his ideology and what he talked about, what he believed in as far as fighting oppression.
Are you a believer in Fidel Castro? He was on that shirt.
If you let me finish, please. The fact that he met with Fidel, to me, speaks to his open mind to being willing to hear different aspects of people's views and ultimately being able to create his own views as far as the best way to approach different situations, different cultures.
So it's good to have an open mind about Fidel Castro and his oppression.
I'm not talking about Fidel Castro and his oppression. I'm talking about Malcolm X and what he's done for people.
No, I realize that I'm talking about it because it's uncomfortable.
That Fidel Castro did do.
Now here, this is the part that you have to listen very closely to. As Colin Kaepernick in Miami tells a massive Cuban-American population that is listening how great Fidel Castro is in Cuba.
Is they have the highest literacy rate because they invest more in their education system than they do in our prison system, which we do not do here, even though we're fully capable of doing that.
Now, before the reporter, Mr. Salguero, can respond, I would like to respond. That is a lie. Just get it out there in the open. People in Cuba do not have a higher literacy rate than people in America any more than the people of Cuba voted 95% to reelect Fidel Castro every time he came up for reelection. When the government controls all of the statistics, they can make them say anything they want. When you have a guy trying to lie to the American people to try to tell everybody how bad this country is, while people in that country, if it's so wonderful, why are they getting on board driftwood to float to the tip of Miami? Why? But Mr. Salguero handles that.
So did something that we do not do here. He broke up families. He took over a country again without any, you know, justice and without any elections.
We do break up families here. That's what mass incarceration is.
I'm playing this for you because I want you to have the full picture of who Colin Kaepernick is so that you understand why teams are reticent, are hesitant to bring this guy with his very limited quarterbacking skills onto their team when he makes statements like that. He compared the political imprisonment of innocent people in Cuba, thus breaking up families, to, quote, mass incarceration of convicts who are not political prisoners, but lawbreakers, felons, criminals, career criminals. Because we locked them up, we have thus, therefore, broken up their families, and so therefore that's the same as Cuba. This is the kind of person we're talking about. He's ignorant, he lies, and he's not a very good football player anymore. Not since the league figured out how to defend the read option. This is the guy that people are rallying around, how come he can't get a job, and how come Miami would dare to pick Jay Cutler over Fidel Castro, Colin Kaepernick, who loves Fidel Castro. The sports writer that I was telling you about, that you were just hearing, Armando Salguero, wrote for the Miami Herald last November. About, what does that make it, about 9 months ago, I think? Wrote this piece Friday, November 25th. Several hours after news had spread of the death of Fidel Castro. He wrote his story about Colin Kaepernick. And I think it's worth listening to so that you can, again, understand, because I mean, I don't want to read all of these tweets, but Twitter exploded yesterday calling the Dolphins racist. Twitter exploded calling the Dolphins racist against people of color like Colin Kaepernick because they chose to bring a white quarterback out of retirement and to consider other white quarterbacks who have moved on to baseball like Tim Tebow instead of a person of color like Colin Kaepernick. They made it a race issue. That's how they're rallying behind him. And so I think it's important to point out all of the reasons why Miami would not have considered Colin Kaepernick. And it had nothing to do with race and everything to do with who he is and what he states and what he believes and what kind of reaction and what sort of reception he would get from Miami Dolphin fans and the 34% Cuban population living, Cuban American living in South Florida. The August evening, the nation first noticed Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during the playing of the anthem in an NFL game. The 49ers quarterback held a post-game news conference, as is typical league policy. At that news conference, Kaepernick wore a T-shirt emblazoned with photos from a 1960 meeting between Malcolm X and Fidel Castro. So after his first notable protest against what last week he called the systematic oppression of minorities in the United States and saying he wants freedom for all people, Colin Kaepernick put on a T-shirt that featured a supportive image of one of the 20th century's most enduring oppressors. This absurd contradiction between what Kaepernick said and does was only a distant annoyance to me because, although I was born into Cuba's imprisonment, I don't often write about Kaepernick or his team. This wasn't my fight. But this week, Colin Kaepernick is on a teleconference call with me and other South Florida reporters who cover the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are playing Kaepernick's team on Sunday, and Kaepernick is saying if anyone is okay with people being treated unfairly, being harassed, being terrorized, then the problem is more what they're doing in their lives. Sports fans were interviewed regarding Kaepernick's refusal to stand during the anthem. And because Kaepernick doesn't apparently understand his own words apply to him before he can apply them to others, including sports fans, I asked the man who protests oppression why he wore the Castro shirt when the tyrant is demonstrably a star on the world's all-oppressor team. Some facts. Cuba, for more than five decades under the Castros, has stifled practically any and all dissent. According to Human Rights Watch, Cuban citizens have been systematically deprived of their fundamental rights to free expression, privacy, association, assembly, movement, and due process of law. Tactics for enforcing political conformity have included police warnings, surveillance, short-term detentions, house arrests, travel restrictions, criminal prosecutions, and politically motivated dismissals from employment. Now to the Google images of the ladies in white protesting on Cuba's streets. Kaepernick, the poster child for protest among NFL players, should do this. He would see images of women, white, black, mothers, daughters, sisters, systematically violated in one form or another by Castro's thugs. And this is complete with a picture, by the way, of exactly that. They're harassed, they're spat upon, pushed, and even bloodied simply because they are fighting to do in Cuba what Kaepernick does on an NFL sideline without fear of physical repercussion, just before he wears that Castro shirt to his postgame pressure. So I ask Kaepernick now how he can protest oppression when ignorantly donning a T-shirt featuring an oppressor. And Kaepernick immediately said, "I wore a Malcolm X shirt." Now, Kaepernick is bright, even though he seems to be playing dumb. He carried a 4.0 grade point average at John H. Pittman High School in Turlock, California. Around the same time, my aunt, lacking medicine and care in Cuba, was dying. The last of my family members, the Castros, refused to allow to escape freedom in the United States, to freedom in the United States. So I remind Kaepernick that Castro was indeed on his shirt. I'm a believer in Malcolm X and his ideology and what he talked about and what he believed in as far as fighting oppression, Kaepernick said. That, by the way, does not answer the question. Kaepernick is evading as if my question is an NFL linebacker on a blitz, so I interrupt. Are you a believer in Fidel Castro, who is on that shirt? If you let me finish, please, he said. The fact that Malcolm X met with Fidel, to me, speaks to his open mind, to be willing to hear different aspects of people's views, and ultimately being able to create his own views as far as the best way to approach different situations and different cultures. So it's good to have an open mind about Fidel Castro and his oppression, I ask. I'm not talking about Fidel and his oppression. I'm talking about Malcolm X and what he's done for people. At this point, I hope Kaepernick, writes Miguel, Armando Salguero, got the Gel in Garo in there. Apologies, I'm trying to find a good place to pick this up because I don't have time to read the entire thing for you. At this point, I hope Kaepernick is starting to realize how untenable his position is relative to the Castros. Even Malcolm X, who met with Castro in New York for years afterward, declined invitations to visit him in Cuba. I'm hoping Kaepernick understands one should not make broad statements about standing up for rights and then slip into a Fidel Castro shirt, suggesting approval for a man who spent his days on the planet stifling people's rights. And that's exactly the moment Kaepernick shows how truly lost he is. Because in the next breath, Kaepernick, born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, explains to me, the guy born in Havana, Cuba, how great Castro really is. One thing Fidel Castro did was they have the highest literacy rate because they invest more in their education system than they do their prison system, which we do not do here, even though we're fully capable of doing that. Is this real life? He writes. First, Cuba does not have the highest literacy rate. Second, don't be surprised if the same people who report Cuba's admittedly high literacy rate are related to those who report its election results, the ones in which the Castros get 100% of the votes. Third, could it be that Cuba doesn't have to invest a lot in prison systems because dungeons and firing squads are not too expensive to maintain? Finally, it's bizarre that Kaepernick is extolling the education system of a country where people believe in launching out into shark-infested seas to flee is a better idea than staying there. So I'll stop it there because I don't have time to read the entire thing to you, but I have tweeted it, and I'll continue. I'll post it on Facebook again. But the bottom line is this Cuban-born reporter, Armando Salguero from Miami, expressed very clearly, probably for all Cuban Americans, why Colin Kaepernick would not exactly be welcome in Miami. He wasn't not hired over Jay Cutler because Cutler is white and he is a person of color. And I don't know exactly what ethnicity Kaepernick is. I believe he's biracial. But it's not because of his race, and it's not because of Cutler's race. It's because of the man's lying, because of the man's admitted fondness for a human rights oppressor, one of the worst dictators in modern times. He's not going to play. It's not going to go very well there. His signing would not play very well in Miami. So I'm tired of the people complaining and whining and crying about Colin Kaepernick and race in the National Football League. If Colin Kaepernick could throw, he'd be hired. But more importantly, as a marginal NFL talent, if Colin Kaepernick were just a little bit less of a jackass, he would also probably be hired. And that's where we'll end it for today. We can pick it up tomorrow, we will. But that's it for today. Stay where you are. Drive Time is coming up next. Mr. Mike Miller with you right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, we'll see you tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.